we've gone through the stories of athletes, starting from the very first Filipino medalist in the Olympics. We've gone through different ways athletes in history have been mistreated or forgotten. Today, let's talk about the most talked about Filipino athlete in the world today. Someone who will unquestionably be remembered for all time, but who is still a stark reminder that the Filipino sports scene still has a long way to go in terms of providing athletes what they need to succeed. Welcome back to Yugto, a podcast where we get mad about Filipino history. My name is Sunny, and today, as I promised in our first episode of the season, we'll be capping off Yugto Season 2 by looking at Heidelyn Diaz's Road to Gold. I really do not even need to tease who Heidelyn Diaz is. I know you know who she is. When we're old or gray, or if we're old and gray, because who knows, the world may very well end, am I right? I think we'll be asking each other, where were you when Heidelyn Diaz won the gold? And you know what? We'll remember. Because what a moment. I'm sure, dear listener, you felt the same thing that I did. Watching that flash in her eyes when she did that last lift and she knew she had it. It was an electric joy. The kind of thing that makes you scream in excitement and fills you with a pure sort of happiness. And part of that happiness is driven by the fact that we know she deserves it. That her passion is true and that the effort that she has put in, that we will revisit today, is unquestionable. It is 2008. The Philippine Weightlifting Association picks a wild card entry to the Summer Olympics. It's a young lady who has been on the scene for a little while now and is known for her consistent work ethic and passion for the sport. In doing so, the Weightlifting Association sets the path for the Philippines to win its first Olympic gold. What they do know is that what they've just done is still unprecedented. In their selection of a young Heidelyn Diaz, not only do they send only the sixth weightlifter in Filipino history to the Olympics, but they also send the first female weightlifter. Who is Heidelyn Diaz? She is the fifth of the six children of Eduardo and Emelita Diaz. She helps her father sell fish and other products in between his tricycle driving. In all this, growing up, she has been lifting weights. Heidelyn Diaz's love for weightlifting started when her cousin, Alan Jafres Diaz, introduced her to it. Diaz, already an avid athlete who had tried her hand at basketball and volleyball, takes to it, hard and fast. Who knows what it was about snatching and lifting absurd amounts of weight over her head that got her blood pumping. What matters is her family supported her decision and passion. At first assisted by Alan, her barbells were homemade. Shoddy, cobbled things made with plastic pipes and concrete weights shaped in tin cans. With her family's help, and the help of her friends around town, she was slowly able to gather up donated barbells and training equipment that she could use to better herself at the sport. Through the Philippine Weightlifting Association, from these humble beginnings in her garage, Diaz finds herself at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. Beijing ends up not a particularly showy outing for Diaz, but again, she has already gone against the odds simply by being there. From here, there is nowhere to go but up. And up she goes. Diaz does not want that to be her last Olympics, and so she goes home and trains, becoming a mainstay in Southeast Asian competitions. The 4 years pass quickly, and it is now 2012. She is now competing in the London Olympics. Again, a disappointment. She comes home medalless, as does every Filipina Olympian that year. But it's been decades since the Philippines' last Olympic medal. it's nothing to be ashamed about. And the Philippines is just glad to watch her up there. She is beginning to garner attention, you see. A woman weightlifter, in her second turn in the Olympics, from a country that has never sent a woman weightlifter before. A bit novel, but 100% an inspiration. Heidelin, at this point, is also a mainstay in schools, in education programs, teaching people to lift. Some people scoff. It's a decidedly unfeminine sport. But Heidelin, often donning bright red lipstick, ignores the naysayers. She keeps expressing her love for the sport and training in it every day. Again, 4 years fly by. Heidelin ruminates and expresses in a few interviews that maybe this next Olympics might be her last one. Who knows, after all, how long her body can keep up with her ambitions. Such is the way with athletes. If Rio then is to be her last Olympics, Diaz trains every day and prays every night for one thing. Give me at least a bronze. Just a bronze medal will do. It is 2016, and it is the Olympics at Rio de Janeiro. Diaz is there again. It's her third time out here now, in the Olympics. She knows the media ropes, how the Olympic Village works, all the protocols. But still, it is exciting. Still, there is much to tell her parents about over their phone calls. And still, the medals elude her. When Diaz steps up to the plate this year, she is determined. She will take home a medal. It will be the culmination of 8 years of work since the Beijing Olympics. Sure enough, and to the stupefied cries of joy from Filipinos all around the world watching on TV, Diaz ends the two-decade medal drought. Her comparatively tiny brown frame lifts that massive barbell above her head, and it is enough to not just give the Philippines a medal, but a silver one at that. Diaz is overwhelmed and overjoyed. The media hails her a hero, and she comes home to much fanfare. She's quickly becoming a household name. Someone who does not play politics and does not seem to be a sellout. Who is earnest, even joining the Air Force and becoming a sergeant, and eventually returning to school to study business management at the De La Salle University, several years after she stopped studying in the Universidad de Zamboanga to focus on weightlifting. She is an inspiration. All in all, a good egg in every way. Which is why it sort of comes out of nowhere when her entire career is jeopardized by a lie. See, Heidelin uses her clout now to try to better the circumstances of her training. She begins to draw attention to her plight and the plight of athletes everywhere. The lack of sports infrastructure to better facilitate training. She becomes quite vocal of this cause. As a three-time Olympian and now a medalist to boot, she becomes one of the faces of this small movement. How does the government react? She gets, in a roundabout way, red-tagged. That is, labeled a communist or insurgent, along with all the dangers that poses. As she becomes accused by government officials of being part of a plan to depose the President Duterte. Politicians talk about an oust Duterte matrix, and the media gives the story plenty of play. Supposedly, the matrix revealed the names of politicians and celebrities that were part of an ongoing plot to do what it said on the tin, to oust Duterte. Heidelin Diaz's name, prominently, was on there. Heidelin expressed that she has no idea what this oust Duterte matrix was about. At the time, she says she finds it ridiculously funny at first. But things begin to turn serious. This incident makes her a target to the online troll farms, who have nothing better to do but create offensive memes of her, or comment on any news of her victories or training to downplay her efforts and try to render her insignificant. This was a horrible period in Heidelin's life. She bursts into tears in several interviews about the issue. She loses sleep over fear for her family's safety. She even begins to fear for her own life. Her physical health continues to be maximized as the road to her next Olympics continues, but her mental health suffers gravely. While the Matrix is eventually hand-waved by the government, might I add, rather sheepishly, since they knew it was ridiculous to blow the obviously fake story up to those degrees in the first place, the support for athletes remained lacking. With no choice in the Tokyo Olympics fast approaching, Heidelin chose to sacrifice her dignity. She was humiliated enough by the government already, and had nothing to show for it. So she may as well do this. She begins very publicly begging corporations, at the expense of her pride, so that she can have the money that she needs to continue to perform at her best. After raising the funds, Heidelin and her coach and team end up going to Malaysia to train. Here, Heidelin is business as usual, but she finds herself far away from home, separated from family, and closed off because of a sudden pandemic. Not to mention, the trolls continue their work against her. Matrix or no Matrix, she is now on the DDS shit list. Again, as Heidelin cobbles together her own weights through water tanks, the way she did when she was a child just starting out, her mental health suffers. How pointless must everything feel? For over a decade now, you've been trying to give your country pride through your accomplishments. But nobody there, least of all the government, seems to be going out of their way to help. And now you're stuck in another country, separated from your family for literal years, still making your own weights. And still the victim of offhanded taunts online from Duterte's diehard supporters. Heidelin did not deserve to feel this neglected, this let down, this lonely. And no other athlete should ever have to feel that again. It is 2021. The world has been rocked for the past 2 years by the COVID-19 pandemic. Despite all this strain and criticism, the Tokyo Olympics pushes through. There are no audiences because of social distancing constraints. But if anything, this means that countries with hundreds of thousands of people in isolation or quarantine are paying more attention virtually. It's a dire time, and people are looking for a source of excitement and joy. The Filipino Olympic team, with fourth-timer Heidelin Diaz at the forefront, are here to deliver. Heidelin, as we have detailed, has suffered a lot to get here. But people believe in her. She has her private sponsors. She has her coach and her team, including her boyfriend. She has her family at home, her foster family in Malaysia, and the whole Filipino nation behind her. Again, like last time, she reminds herself, life is short, and this could be her last Olympics. She won a silver before. Perhaps she can do it again. Perhaps she can do even better. I'll admit, I do not know much about weightlifting, and unfortunately, we do not have enough time in this episode to do the blow-by-blow of Heidelin's win. Suffice to say that as her main competitor vocally underestimates her, Heidelin thought to herself, as she says in interviews, that the gold was definitely within reach. she has had to go through 3 Olympics, government threats, online trolls, and a pandemic to be here. So, why not give it her all? The rest, as they say, is history. If the world still exists 50 years from now, we'll be asking each other, where were you when Heidi Lynn won her gold? When Nesty Petesho and Carlo Paalam won their silvers? When Yumir Marshall his bronze? When these 4 finally, at long last, after 80-ish years, surpassed the 1932 Filipino Olympic medal haul? When this group of 4, along with the rest of the high-performing Filipino Olympians that year, exemplified the promise that Filipino sports held, severely underrated by those without and under-supported by those within. Yumir Marshall complained about the same thing Heidi Lynn did, about the lack of support making it difficult for athletes to truly perform to the utmost of their abilities. Michael Martinez, the Philippines' figure skater who has competed in the Winter Olympics against all odds, has made it known that he hopes that the post-2020 Olympics interest in sports will help him get support for his own training, that he felt he has been desperately lacking. Our athletes need support. They don't have it. The government brags or gets defensive about how much money is going into Filipino sports. But all you have to do is listen to the stories straight from our athletes' mouths, or just go to any of our decrepit training centers. Then you'll see that as our athletes are trying their best to bring honor back to this country through their athletic feats, there are people without any honor whatsoever who are pocketing the money that should be going into their training. Usually these same politicians who line up to shake their hands if they do end up winning a medal for the Philippines against all odds. Everyone deserves better. And our athletes do not need to have their ability be politicized. Heidi Lynn herself has said that she has forgiven the people who were responsible for the whole anti-Duterte Matrix affair. She says that when she won the gold medal, she decided to forgive everyone who ever bashed her. She said that she felt like if she did not go through such trials, she would not have reached the heights she did. And she has allowed her forgiveness. But I think it is wrong that she must look now at these difficulties as something that was necessary to traverse. That someone who embodies some of the best that the Philippines has to offer can be toyed with in such a way to boost political prospects. Our athletes' bodies and mental fortitude are their weapons to fight for the name of the Philippines. It's not something to be batted around between political parties when they need endorsements or certain narratives. And our athletes need material support, beyond the congratulations and rewards they get when they bring home medals. Our athletes are the effort and the years they put into their sports, not just the wins on the international stage. The 4 2021 medalists are up to their ears now in lifetime deals and new houses before they had even left Japan. But true support is not just according to what's trendy or what's newsworthy or what will give you social media reach. It's giving our athletes our trust, vocally, and putting pressure on our institutions to put their money where their mouth is. We've seen that moment now on TV. They even showed it in the closing montage of clips in the Tokyo Olympics twice. In the span of a few seconds, Heidi Lynn, the daughter of a tricycle driver, becomes the first ever winner of an Olympic gold for the Philippines. I'm sure, like me, you saw that now immortal moment, whether in pictures or videos. The flag of the Philippines was raised at the highest point for the first time, and the Lupang Hinirang soars through the empty arena. Heidi Lynn, beneath a face mask, raises her fingers to her forehead in a salute. She tries to keep herself from shaking, but she can't stop it completely. She's so overwhelmed, and the tears won't stop flowing. From here on, there's going to be discourse. Should Duterte and countless other politicians in his camp apologize to her? Should she be thanking Duterte's camp because in some roundabout, backbendy logic, his being president during her win means that he somehow facilitated it? How many corporate brands and small businesses are going to come out of the woodwork and give her and her fellow medalists prizes, support and material goods that were nowhere to be seen during their training phase? Do we let all her detractors off the hook when they claim that they were behind her all along, despite internet screenshots saying otherwise? Is this whole thing going to be overblown? Is anyone even going to remember Duterte's State of the Nation address after all this? Because it did happen that same night. Is Diaz going to reveal she's somehow secretly problematic? As she holds that gold in her hand, as she screams from behind her mask, "Mabuhay ang Pilipinas!" None of those answers matter. For now, it is just Heidelin Diaz. Tomorrow, her face will be plastered across the front page of papers. Not just in the Philippines, but all over the world. From now until forever, her name will be in the history books. The first ever female weightlifter from the Philippines. The one who broke the decades-long Filipino medal drought. The one who finally brought home the gold. Who knows what will happen in the Olympics in France in a few years' time? Perhaps we'll see another Filipino gold medalist. Maybe two. Perhaps it's the start of another half-century drought before delegations beat the medal haul numbers again. What we do know is that the Philippines will be there. That our athletes even now are pouring their hearts and souls for these competitions. And the competitions that happen in between. This season, we've traversed through an entire century of sport for the Philippines. We've gone from Olympic winners to Olympic could-have-beens, those who broke records or those who challenged perspectives and conventions simply by being who they were. Those who died too young and those who died old, but nevertheless in regretful circumstances. From the pools to the podiums, from the boxing rings to the big world stages, the history of Filipino sports is manifold, full of colorful stories and personalities of all types, who were united across years and circumstances, and different sorts of sacrifices, by one thing: passion for their sport, and passion for bringing the capability of the humble Filipino to the world stage. To the past and future athletes of the Philippines, we salute you. And while it isn't much on most days, we promise for the times that you were not given due justice or attention, for the times where you were used or robbed of opportunity, we remember and will always be angry on your behalf. Thank you for listening. If you want to know more about the Filipino sports scene, why not listen to For the Love of the Game PH, a podcast about inspiring possibilities from real-life sports stories. Catch their live episodes on Wednesdays 8 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and Kumu. You can find them on Instagram and TikTok as well. Yugto is narrated, researched, and written by Sunny, and is supported by the Work in Progress team, or WIP Inc. Sources and any subsequent corrections of facts for this episode can be found on the website. Support the Yugto podcast on Spotify, Anchor, and YouTube, or email us any questions at whipinc.ph@gmail.com. Finally, help us get these stories out there by sharing us on Twitter at @yugto_pod, on Instagram at @yugto.pod, or on Facebook at @yugto.pod. Join us next week for another episode about the history of Filipino sports. And remember, activism is not terrorism, truth is not terrorism, and don't waste your vote this coming May. See you next time!